The third Bible passage for today's carol service is taken from John 1, from verse 1 to 5, and from 9 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not receive him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Or on the way in. Is that better? Thank you. My name's Phil, and I'm the pastor here at Grace Church. And we're really pleased that you could come and celebrate Christmas at this carol service with us. Just going to think for a minute or two about some of the words that we've been singing and words we've been listening to from the readings. But I wonder if you, like me, have a Christmas playlist. You've been listening to it maybe since the 1st of December. And I wonder if you've got one of the most popular songs, Christmas songs written in the 1970s. I wonder if that's on your playlist. I'm thinking of a song that is played in every supermarket, probably from mid-October, right through to Christmas Eve. Still sung in school concerts, and if you were at the Christmas lights switch on Kidlington High Street, you would have even heard Gosford Hill School Band playing it. I'm thinking of the song, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Maybe you had a letter through your door, a little invite that said that from us, that said that, because that's the theme of our Christmas services this year. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you, because that'll be a way to empty the room very quickly. But I'm sure you know the lyrics. The chorus goes, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day. When the kids start singing and the band begins to play, oh, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Let the bells ring out for Christmas. And the verses talk about snowmen putting big smiles on people's faces. It talks about the person you love changing the bad things, the dark things in your life into good. It says, when we're skating in the park, if the storm cloud paints it dark, then your rosy cheeks are going to light my merry way. It's a song that wishes that every day could be perfect, that every day could be full of joy like Christmas is. And in doing so, it's sort of recognising, isn't it, that actually maybe life every other day isn't quite what we think it should be. Perhaps it's recognising that there are hard things, sad things, dark things that we experience in life that we instinctively know are not right. And so when we sing, we wish it could be Christmas every day, what we're saying is this is what we want life to be like, a life that is always full of joy, harmony between people, a life that we think it should be. And yet when we look around, we know that isn't what life is like. Whether we see and long for peace between Israel and Gaza or Russia and Ukraine, or we are longing for public services that are funded well and can serve us in our time of need, or we're longing for that time when there's an end to all the inequalities that divide communities, that divide whole nations and ultimately divide the world. And then we want healing, don't we, for those hurts that we carry around. Maybe those things that perhaps nobody else knows about. Now, I'm sure for some of us, Christmas Day is that day just jam-packed full of joy, harmony with your loved ones, no arguments, contentment of being full up with good food, surrounded by the love of family and friends. But I wonder if we put too much weight on that one day to deliver. And so for many people who are only too aware that life isn't right, actually, the day can become a bit bittersweet. But as Christians, we recognize and say that this longing for a life, a better life, is actually right and true. This recognition that life is not what it should be is right. And it actually leads us to look beyond the tints and the turkey and to dig into the good news of Christmas. Not the good news of a one-day respite from the darkness of this world, but the good news of God, who has become one of us, who's experienced the darkness, and who provides a way for us to discover true joy and peace and security, even in the midst of all of life's uncertainties. But to appreciate this good news, we have to start off by recognizing the bad news. The message that God has given us in the Bible is that the world is not as he created it to be, that our experience of life is not as he originally intended it, that behind all the wars and the ecological crisis, the inequalities, the pain, the suffering, lies ultimately our rejection of him as our loving creator and father. We tell him where to go. We cut ourselves off from him. And in so doing, we separate ourselves from actually the source of what is good and true and right and lovely. Yes, by his grace, we still experience some great things in life. We can love and be loved. We can know life's fleeting joys. But the world is awry, and we stand guilty before our Creator. Perhaps at Christmas time you read C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, particularly the Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe, we associate with Christmas, don't we? And in that story, the awful situation Narnia was in, that it was always winter, but never Christmas. You see, ultimately, the problem is us. Jesus grew up. One of the things he said, that out of the human heart flows everything that is wrong and evil. Many years ago, the author, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, you know, the author of the Sherlock Holmes mysteries, he loved practical jokes. And a story is told, whether it's completely true, I do not know, but a story is told that as a joke, he once sent a telegram to each of 12 friends of his. And all these men were fine and upstanding people, respected in society, considered virtuous. And Sir Conan Doyle sent them a telegram that simply read, "Flee! All has been discovered." And to his shock, within 24 hours, the story goes, all 12 of them had left the country. To appreciate and enter the life that we were created to know, the starting point is to stop pretending that we're okay. I recognize that we need someone to save us. And that's where we come to the good news of Christmas. Because here we are celebrating the arrival of that Savior given to us by God. In our first reading, we heard words that were written 700 years before Jesus' birth, where God promised that he would send a light into the darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And what is this light? Well, the prophecy goes on. It's a child. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. From those titles, we see that this child would be God, born as one of us, making himself vulnerable, a fetus in a young woman's womb, being born as a helpless child. That same prophet Isaiah, prophets were simply messengers sent from God with important messages from him. The same prophet Isaiah also said that, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel simply means God with us. Jump forward 700 years, and there's a virgin, Mary, who's told that she is going to bear this child, and he is to have the name Jesus. Jesus, the name, means the Lord saves. One of Jesus' friends, John, who heard everything he said, witnessed all the things he did, describes Jesus in this way. We heard it in our final reading. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John spent years with Jesus. He saw Jesus heal the sick with just a touch. He saw Jesus still a raging storm with just a simple command. He even saw Jesus raise the dead just through his word. What was John's conclusion? We heard it in that last reading. The word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Truth, and he tells us what our real need is. He wants to give us the right diagnosis. I don't know about you, if you're ill, you want a correct diagnosis, don't you? You don't want the doctor to shy away from telling you the truth because he's afraid of upsetting you. Or worse than that, you don't want a misdiagnosis. Perhaps you saw on the news earlier this year the story of a surgeon in our country who had wrongly carried out mastectomies on hundreds of women. Misdiagnosis. No, Jesus came with truth. He gives us the correct diagnosis. He shows us lovingly that we are rebels against God, and that's why life is not as it should be. But also, he came full of grace. Grace is being given what you don't deserve, and that's what he came to give. He came ultimately to die on the cross. The shadow of his cross is even there at the time he was born. On the cross, he went willingly to bear all the wrong that you and I have done, all that we've said and thought, all the good we haven't done, all the ways that we've rejected God and told him where to go. He willingly paid the price for. Why? So that we might receive and experience the heart-transforming reality of his grace. Maybe we're like that sullen teenager who's made their parents' life hell all year, who when given a gift by their parent at Christmas, suddenly their hearts change. He offers us what we don't deserve. He offers us a forgiveness that frees us from our past and our present and our future failures. He brings us reconciliation with the God we were created to know and love. He offers us security of life with him now and forever in his coming perfect kingdom. And in the thousands of years since he lived and died and rose again, countless millions of people around this world have discovered Jesus to be truly beautiful, truly glorious, truly wonderful, truly worth following and trusting your life to. As we remember his coming again this Christmas time, as God's gift to us, what you do with this gift is probably the biggest decision you can ever make in your life. More important than where to live or what job to take or what person you'll marry. Jesus' friend John tells us what the response to the gift of Jesus was in his day. We heard it in the third reading. Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to the very people who were awaiting this promised Savior from God, but they demanded the Romans to nail him to a cross. They refused to accept his diagnosis of their hearts and lives. They didn't want to receive the grace that he was offering to them. I wonder, what about you? What about us? Don't be like that person who refused to open the present they've given, but put it away in a cupboard, still in its wrapping paper. If you receive Jesus as the gift from God, the Saviour that you need, what happens? Well, John tells us, again, we heard it in our last reading, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When you accept that gift of Jesus, you become God's own child, accepted, adopted into his eternal family. Because you see, Jesus didn't stay in that manger. He didn't stay on the cross dead. He rose again. And as King of the universe, he's promised one day that he's going to return and bring with him his never-ending kingdom of true life where nothing is wrong, where we'll experience life as it was truly intended to be originally. No injustice, no disease, no death, no sadness, no rejection of God. And that's what Jesus offers to us if we place our trust in him. So as we sing that song that's the popular song, I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, we're actually, in a way, longing for that day to come where it will be Christmas every day, because we'll be with Jesus and we'll know true joy, true peace, true love and harmony with one another, true lightness of spirit. And here's the thing, he offers us that gift today. What will you do with it? Here at Grace Church, we exist to help people look into Jesus for themselves. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. That's why we began 5-6 years ago. And we'd love today for you to take a Christmas gift home. I'll say a bit more at the end, but we have some goodie bags for families and we have some books, literature that we'd love you to take something home to read a bit more about Jesus, who he is, and his offer to you. Let's pray before we sing our last carol together. Jesus, we thank you that you came into the world as that light. You said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall no longer live in darkness. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that life is not as it should be, as you intended it to be. We acknowledge that we each have turned our backs on you, that we prefer to live our own way, to be in charge of our own lives. Heavenly Father, we admit that we have offended you. We've hurt one another. We've made a mess of this glorious and wonderful planet. But thank you that you didn't leave us in that darkness. Thank you that Jesus came, that he lived to reveal you in all your goodness, that he is still that light now as the risen Lord shining, that we might come to him and receive true life that you intended us to know. Thank you that he's coming again and that his kingdom will never end. We pray that you would help us to receive this gift of grace that you offer us in Jesus. We thank you for him. In your name we pray. Amen. Our last carol is Hark the Herald Angels.